Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health podcast. I'm excited today because I'm going to be sharing with you three ways to help set you up for an amazing week. Now, I often get asked what I do on the weekend to make sure that I'm ready for the week ahead. So, what activities, what food am I eating? What's really going to make sure that when I wake up on Monday morning that I'm ready to go and I can tackle everything that's in my path? So I wanted to share three easy ways you can set yourself up for this great week ahead. Now, my first one that I like to do, and usually on either a Saturday afternoon or sometime on a Sunday, depending on what we have on, is plan out my week ahead. Now, I have my phone for my diary for my appointments, but I also have a paper diary, okay? So I'm still a little bit old school, and I put everything in that paper diary. So for me, I write out the appointments I have for the week. I plan out when I'm going to do my workouts, and I actually block out time and write them in. I'll also allocate time to certain important tasks. So say I have a Pilates class that I'm teaching, or I need to prep for a class I'm hosting or prep for a podcast, then I'll set that time aside to make sure that I'm giving myself enough time and obviously writing it into so it's a priority to get done in the week. This works really well. Even adding in your kids' schedules too, so you can see what's happening and you can plan around that, kind of just gives that really good visual so that you can see right out in front of you what's happening during your week, when's the best time to maximize maybe some downtime and take some time out for yourself or block out that time for your workouts. And as I always say, especially in our house, if it's not in the calendar, as my husband says, then it doesn't exist. So having it put in there, and like your workouts or an appointment with yourself, okay, or maybe you want to write in there that you're catching up with a friend, it really is that time that you can plan out and see what's coming up for the week ahead. Now, on top of that, my second tip is to ensure that we either have our fridge stocked for the week, or I've done a little bit of meal prep, or I've planned out some meals. So for me, sometime on the weekend, I'll often make up either a batch of soup or some bliss balls, or maybe it's a batch of cookies for the girls' lunches, but there's usually some food prep that's happening, so it's going to help me throughout the week. This just really helps in one, as I said before, making those lunch boxes, but also having fruit on hand for healthy snacks. And then when I go to make dinner on Monday night, I know I've already got the veggies and the ingredients that I need. So I'm not trying to fit in another trip to the supermarket at the start of the week. I'm not sure about you guys, but COVID has definitely made me look at my grocery shopping differently. We used to be a twice a week shop family. So we used to go once a week, I'd do a main shop, and then I always have to do a top-up shop. Now, with COVID hitting, we've been trying to minimize, obviously, going out and interacting with other people and not being able to get some produce and things at the supermarket when stock's been low because of COVID has sort of changed the way that I've planned and cooked too. Now, I never really thought we could get through a whole week without going back to the shops, but turns out we actually can. So I always make sure that I have a shopping list, so I use that on my phone. I just add things to it throughout the week, and I can usually now do just a once a week shop. So I can go at 7 days. Okay. Sometimes it's a 5 or 6 day and we end up just going just under a week, or sometimes we can make it through to about that 8 day mark. That seems to be the limit for us because by then, if there's any bananas left, they've usually gone black. Okay. But I just find that the produce tends to, we get a good week out of it, but not further than that. So have a think about what you can do for your shop too. Maybe you can buy some things in bulk. Maybe you can, you know how much your family generally tends to eat. So you can just buy that little bit more to last you that little bit longer so that you're not making multiple trips to the shops. I know for me, when I've got to add in another trip to the shop, I usually tend to buy a few extra things. So I end up spending more money. It's extra time out of my week as well that I generally just can't afford, or I'd rather be doing something else with. So a good tip there. Also, you can look at planning out your meals for the week ahead. Now, personally, I might do that for a day or two. I know other people and people that I've worked with, we plan it out for a week in advance, and that gives them a really good basis of where they're going to start. It means that they know what to buy on their shopping list, and kids often like knowing what's going to be for dinner tonight and tomorrow and what's coming up. Sometimes it gives them something to look forward to. So maybe Friday nights, you can have family dinner night and rotate who gets their favorite meal. But things like that, kids really like connecting to. You could also have it up that one day of the week that the kids join in and help you make that meal as well. Kind of makes them usually more motivated and more interested in what's going to be coming up for dinner as well. Now, as I said, for us, I only like to plan a couple of days ahead, but I also have a decent size freezer. So I am a big advocate for buying a few things in bulk and having that in the freezer. So I can wake up in the morning and say, okay, yep, tonight we're going to have chicken, and I've usually got some chicken and vegetables in the fridge, and that's easy to go. So whatever works best for you and your family, but having some sort of meal plan can definitely help with just keeping your food intake and healthy meals coming throughout the week. Now, finally, my last tip is to get a good night's sleep. Now, this may seem super simple, but I really do find that if I can wake up on Monday morning feeling refreshed, and the same with my kids as well, that everyone's just a little bit happier to get ready to either get out the door for school or kinder, or even just get ready to start our work week. Now, some of the things I like to do, especially on a Sunday night, is make sure that I'm not heading to bed too late. Now, we know if we don't get enough sleep, we tend to wake up a little bit less energetic. We might feel a bit tired, irritable, and cranky, and that really doesn't set ourselves up for an amazing week ahead. So having a reasonable bedtime on a Sunday night always works really well, and also not overdoing it with the alcohol. So as we know, once you get past that 2 glasses of alcohol, alcohol can be a big sleep disruptor. So either avoiding alcohol altogether or just limiting it to 1 glass on that Sunday night. You might also want to look at having a good sleep routine. So what that means is for you, or to me, it can look very different. Maybe you might want to have a bath, okay, read a book. You might then make sure that you turn off all your devices about an hour before going to bed. I often like to do a few stretches. So in my room, my bedroom, I have my massage balls, I have a foam roller, and I often like to just do 5 minutes down on the floor. So I usually get into any points of the body that feel a little bit tight, okay, whether or not that's from working out or they feel a little bit stiff. Maybe I've been sitting a little bit too long during that day, or bent over and teaching for a lot of that day, so therefore my lower back and that might be tight as well. So I'll just get into different areas. Sometimes I'll do a bit of a stretch sequence, moving through my glutes and my quads, adding in some side stretches and rotations, just to try to loosen off some of that fascial tightness before heading to bed. Now, another thing that we can do as well as part of our evening routine is making sure that we are turning off the TV or our electronic devices at least an hour to an hour and a half before going to sleep. Now, sometimes this just can't happen, or you do just want to chill out and watch some Netflix. And I will say that I've been wearing the blue blocker glasses before I go to bed. So if you haven't heard about these are glasses that block out the blue light that often is emitted from our electronic devices. And this blue light can interrupt our sleep. So I've been wearing them now probably for about 6 to 8 weeks, and I will say I have noticed a significant improvement in my sleep. Just in the fact that generally I'll wear my glasses, okay, the next morning I tend to wake up, even if I've had a little bit less sleep, so maybe I've only just had that 7 hours, I wake up feeling refreshed. I'm not as tired in the later part of the day. Whereas there's a few times where I've forgotten to wear my glasses, or I actually, you know, did a sort of a trial and did 5 days without them so I could see if there was a difference for me. And I really did find that I didn't wake up as refreshed as when I had been wearing them. So that might be another good tip to look into as well. There are quite a few different brands out there, so check out what might be available to you wherever you are. Now, we also want to think about, with our sleep, our melatonin production. So melatonin is a hormone our body creates to help us sleep, and it also helps regulate our circadian rhythm. Now, melatonin is produced in our brain, in our pineal gland, but it's also produced in the gut. It's actually produced in the gut 400 times more than in the brain. Isn't that crazy? When I found out that fact, that just proves so much about how important our gut health is. Now, being a nutritionist, I'm always on at people and talking to people about their gut health. I'm super passionate about it. But having this really strong link to our melatonin production just shows how much it will affect our sleep. So if we can, we want to be eating nourishing food. We want to be feeding our gut lots of fruits and vegetables, prebiotic foods, okay, get those fermented foods in, probiotics as well. Whatever you can, just to really focus on that gut health, and that is actually going to help with your sleep too. Now, linking that to your digestion, another little tip you can do is just making sure you don't eat too close to going to bed. So if we can, for optimal digestion and to make sure that we're not interrupting our sleep and digesting a really heavy meal just before we go to bed, we want to be trying to finish our eating about 2 hours before hopping into bed. So that's just a good thing to think about when you're thinking of the timing of your meals, how late you're going to eat, how late you're staying up, and what time you have to get up the next day. Just planning that dinner time and that finishing of your eating at least 2 hours before you think you're going to start hopping into bed. All right, as always, if you have any questions, if you have any feedback, please reach out to me. You can find me on Facebook at My Movement Health. You can shoot me a DM on Instagram at Mind Movement Health and Pilates. Otherwise, I hope you guys had a fantastic week. If you do try any of these tips and practices, please let me know. I always love hearing from you guys. Thanks so much for listening in. And I'll see you next week on the podcast. Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.